Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska, and welcome to a special live roundtable on legal marijuana. I'm Annie Ropeek. In just under 2 weeks, it'll become legal for adults over age 21 to possess marijuana, an ounce or less, but the certainties pretty much end there. State legislators and local officials are still figuring out how to regulate the use, cultivation, and commercial sale of the drug in the state. And Deputy Police Chief Mike Holman and Chris Laddock, an Alaska City Manager, have been working on getting the city ready to deal with this new industry, and they join me today to talk more about it. Gentlemen, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having us.
So, listeners, we're going to talk for a few minutes about what we know about how this big change is going to take shape in the state, and then we'll open it up for your calls and questions, so keep listening. So, Chris, voters passed this by a 53% margin in the state last fall, a little higher here in Alaska, and that made some decrees, but it didn't have a law behind it. So, last night, our city council started looking at putting this into our local code before what we'll call Legalization Day, which is February 24th. And a lot of other towns in the state are in the process of doing this exact same thing right now. So tell me what these first local laws are going to do.
Well, the first ordinance that they're looking at just reflects what the initiative said, which is basically can't smoke marijuana in public and sets about the fines for it. We were suggested by our attorney to have that in place by the 24th. And there's lots of other issues to take up at a later date. But right now, I think everybody's in an educational process, including the legislature. I understand there was a bill dropped yesterday, a new bill looking at the issue. So they're working through the issue. We need to see what they do before we take a whole lot of other action, I believe.
Mm-hmm. So the basic stuff that we're trying to put in place this month is what constitutes a public place, right? $100 fine for public consumption. You have to be 21 and over to use it, and
Right. Sort
of a certain number of plants that you can have in the home, and all that stuff was in the ballot measure, right?
That's correct.
Okay. So, and that's going forward to a public hearing actually at our next city council meeting, which is going to be next Friday, the 20th at 9 a.m. So, Mike, this will be a whole new world of enforcement for the local police. And I know the intent of the ballot measure was more generally to regulate this drug like alcohol. At least that was sort of the phrasing. Is that going to be the police approach, would you say, to sort of look at this like liquor laws? How much is that going to be possible?
It's unknown at this time. There's too many possibilities coming out of the state to predict how we're going to be able to do that. The city ordinance that's being proposed, that's going to the second reading on Friday, or next Friday, will allow us to enforce the public consumption of marijuana at a city level. And what the state's going to propose and what they're going to do, just don't know.
Mm-hmm. So as far as driving under the influence, things like that?
Again, there's a lot of changes that have to happen to the structure of the ordinances or the statutes. It remains to be seen.
Be multiple statutes that might have to change too, right?
There's a significant number of statutes that have to change. The House bill that you just talked about, the Senate bill, the number 30, it's 91 pages, and it's just a whole series of changes to all the different statutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so a lot of regulations obviously have to take shape, and that's over the next 9 months at the state level, and Alaska's going to be kind of rolling with those, I think, and putting them in code kind of as we're able. But, on February 24th, how does the day-to-day change for the police here and for citizens? I mean, does anything change, or is this going to be a little more gradual, do you think?
I think it's going to be gradual, but the big change will be is on the 24th, you're able to possess an ounce or less of marijuana and start growing
it.
And transport it.
As in around town, we'll talk about this a little bit more, but planes and boats and things like that. You mean just have it in your car, drive it from your house to someone else's house and give it to them for free, right? Is that kind of the idea?
I think so.
Okay.
That's how I understand it also. It's you cannot, I can't sell it to a friend, but I could give somebody's. Up to an ounce or less.
Right. Okay. Well, listeners, I want to open it up to you now if you want to ask Chris or Mike a question, or if you have a comment about any of these many unknowns, things that haven't taken shape yet. You can call in. It's 581-1888. You can also get in touch on Facebook or on Twitter at KUCB News. So we did have a comment from a listener in advance. He says he supports retail sales of marijuana in Alaska, and he feels citizens should have the chance to vote on whether to allow it and kind of things of that nature. So Chris, what is the city's position on retail sales right now? Is that something you'd allow?
I don't know if there's going to be a local option or not. I think there probably will be, and that will be up to the city council to decide.
Mm-hmm. So that would be something the state would have to set up, the local option?
Yes. And so I think there's a lot of distance between here and making a decision on that, and a lot of education that'll probably take place, mm-hmm. and a lot of discussion.
Mm-hmm. So I can
tell you from our experience in Colorado that a lot of communities have said no to dispensaries or to grow operations, and of course others who have.
Mm-hmm. So that was, you guys recently came back from a pot conference in Colorado where the drug's been legal for a couple of years.
Correct.
I know that our own mayor, Shirley Marquardt, has said that the city's going to try to limit or keep out at least the commercial sale of the drug, keep out dispensaries and some of these edible products, things like that. It seems that, you know, a lot of our city officials have a lot of concerns about that market. How are you going to handle that going forward?
It's a decision of the city council. I present the information to them, and they make the final decision. But
are you kind of waiting on more state regulations?
Right.
Yeah.
Where state regulations go. And I think the question was, a person wanted to vote on it. And that might be an initiative, so I don't know how that would work either, mm-hmm. whether or not that would be possible to do. So we just don't know right now.
Okay. So I have I don't want to get into too many hypotheticals, but I do have one for you. Say there's several shops that are actually in the works in Anchorage already, sort of ahead of legalization day. So say an Unalaska resident flew out, visited one of those shops and purchased a certain amount of product and wanted to bring it back to town and have it in their possession and use it. Would that be legal or possible, Mike?
Right now, the FAA has said that they're not going to allow that. And the Coast Guard has said that they're not going to allow transportation on vessels either.
Because it's all federal airspace, federal waters, right?
Correct.
Okay.
And it's illegal federally. So,
mm-hmm. So CDL drivers still can't partake.
Correct.
Yeah. Right.
Fishermen on fishing vessels, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So at this point, I mean, is it going to be possible, I guess, for these things even to make their way into town? Is that something you're going to be able to enforce at all? I mean, considering how little security there is on Penn Air.
Yeah, I just don't know the answer to that.
Okay. We had a question from a listener on the phone. Holly from the school wants to know what you guys learned about the effects of marijuana on kids under 21 at your conference.
Mike. Well, on children under 21? the addiction rate was higher for kids than it was for adults. It was 1 in 6 kids that the conference indicated would become addicted if they use marijuana regularly, whereas it's 1 in 10 adults. The effects on the development of the brain, they indicated that it was detrimental for 14 to 24, I believe is the age group that they gave us. They also talked about a reduction in IQ points. They tracked a group of kids from mid-teens all the way into their 30s and that were habitual users, and they saw significant, is it like up to 6 points in their IQ?
Mm-hmm. So. Now, we know alcohol also has a serious effect on children. That's also illegal, the same way that this would be. And in a state where alcoholism is such a widespread problem, I'm wondering if there's a similar kind of outlook on this drug as there is on alcoholism here in Alaska, or if the trepidation is a little bit different. Can you kind of compare those things for me? They're both controlled substances, right? And they're now both legal.
I think that's more of a discussion for a doctor or a psychiatrist or somebody who deals with addiction all the time. Mm-hmm. We did hear from some doctors and one guy who was an ex-addict when we were in Colorado who talked about if anybody tells you that marijuana isn't addictive, come see him at the Boulder Center. There are definitely public health effects with this marijuana, And the fact that the THC content is now, in some cases, up to 38%. People do not know, or one clinical researcher who was at this conference said they do not know, have not studied the effects of someone smoking hash oil at 90% THC. Mm-hmm. So what they are seeing, we did have a discussion from emergency room doctors in Denver, Colorado. They are seeing different types of things they've never seen before in terms of convulsive vomiting to psychosomatic responses for several days after events when they've ingested some of this high THC content stuff. Mm-hmm. And also children are presenting, you know, oftentimes kids go to emergency rooms, they're presenting, and doctors don't know what's wrong with them until they finally figure out that they've ingested a gummy bear with 100 milligrams of THC in it.
Sure. So it's new science, obviously, because it's a newly legalized substance. So I wanted to ask you, I mean, you touched on a lot of these issues in your presentation, Mike, you with Police Chief Jamie Sunderland last night at City Council, your presentation from Colorado. And, you know, you also talked about the dangers of the production of the hash oil, houses getting blown up, kids getting sent to the emergency room, you know, correlations between marijuana and some negative social effects, things like that. But what do you have to say to residents who, at last night's meeting, did criticize you for focusing on these negative aspects and maybe not touching on the medicinal sure. benefits and things like that?
Sure. And I suppose that there are, you know, the gentleman pointed out some medicinal uses, but as, you know, working with the public, what we're concerned about is public health. And we do see, I don't think we're talking about the person who uses the stuff once a week. We're talking about people who are in the business of making a lot of money selling some of these items, and it's a public health issue.
So in Colorado, I know that's been a big concern, you know, a lot of the black market issues and mm-hmm. these really big, like, billion-dollar business kind of practices going on. Is it your sense that that's what's going to take place in Alaska? I mean, I know that our ballot measure was based in large part on Colorado's. Mm-hmm. Does our implementation also have to be, or can we do this differently?
Boy, that's a really good question, because we went down there to kind of see what the issues were and what's going on. They recommended, you know, if there was medicinal marijuana, to better define what a caregiver is. There were several recommendations. Yeah. And even if, let's say the city council said no to grows, you still can grow personally. Mm-hmm. So there's still going to be issues.
Six plants, right, or three flowering.
So there's still going to be issues.
Mm-hmm. Now, Chris, you made a good point, I think, at last night's council meeting, which was that anytime you restrict an aspect of this, you create a black market. So if you restrict the level of THC in your edibles, then you create a black market for the higher level THC products. Are you concerned about that here? If, you know, Elon Alaska does approach this from kind of a cautious standpoint, I guess, that mm-hmm. in the initial phase of the rollout of yeah. this, that's going to
yeah,
be a problem?
Yeah, I think some of those issues will be discussed at the state level, I'm hoping. But, you know, like in Colorado, they kind of punted the ball on what a public place is down to the municipalities. So we just don't know what's going to come about. But the other thing I wanted to point out from a public health perspective is in Colorado, they do not check for contaminants. So when you work on, at least for what we learned, is when you put out this high yield marijuana, you have to use fertilizer. They use pesticides. They may use herbicides for other types of weeds. And they're not checking for that stuff. And those companies that make that material are not certifying it for use in growth of marijuana. So people, and the same thing with the butane hash oil, there's all kinds of residual chemicals that are in this stuff that people are ingesting. And I think from a public health perspective, that's an issue.
Mm, and something that Alaska can maybe learn from Colorado, which is where this is going on.
Right.
So, okay, well, we had another couple comments from a listener in advance. Tapiana Ray wanted to know kind of the plan for regulating edibles that maybe are a little more difficult to tell what if they are, you know, a THC product at all, like gum or something like that, that could make its way into a school. And I recognize that it's early maybe to say on some of these things, but I, you know, come February 24th, I think that if people are able to grow themselves, you can make your own edibles. And this is something police, I think, are going to need to know how to deal with. And Mike, I want to know what your approach to that will be.
As far as creating the regulations for that, or as far as testing the material?
Community policing, I guess I would call it, enforcement.
I think you bring up a really good question. Is, okay, say the city bans edibles and they ban grows, and what happens when the stuff pops up at the school? And is it a public place? Well, there's a federal law about having drugs on the city.
The school zone.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. In the school zone. So that's not, I don't think that goes away. So that might apply there. Mm-hmm. But I think in every situation that comes up, Annie, you have to kind of go through this process of new, trying to figure out what the issues are and what applies.
Probably a lot of trial and error.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Mike?
I think that's what the legislators are wrestling with down there in Juneau right now. There's that new House bill or Senate Bill 30 that just came out, the 91 pages I talked about. Some of the language in there has changed. For example, it is currently a felony to possess marijuana on a school property or within 500 feet of a school. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, we have
that
a comment.
Will be changing.
We have a comment from a listener now who is on the phone, and I think he wants to talk about some of the policies in Washington. Hi, you're on KUCB. Who am I talking to?
This is Travis Arkett. So the last bit that I was hearing was about the public safety issue in Colorado's testing regulations. I think we could probably learn a lot from Colorado and Washington. Obviously, Colorado had their program first, and they made quite a few mistakes. One of their mistakes was in their testing and testing requirements. Washington, on the other hand, kind of picked up on that and started doing required testing with mass spectrometers, which means that any product that that gets, you know, has to go through a check process. But once it goes through these independent testing companies, they do test for pesticides and molds and all sorts of heavy metals and things like that. That definitely is a really, really big issue, especially as more people who are inexperienced start creating products and kind of the industry starts to expand, more people get involved. You know, with the regulation, I would really, really, really recommend also looking at Washington, not just Colorado, but also Washington, to kind of look at similar problems that have been addressed and fixed. And I think Alaska can definitely do it even better if it utilizes all the information, not just Colorado, but also Washington as well. And the testing is actually relatively inexpensive. And you could actually have a testing machine and a lab set up here in Alaska, if you know, since it is kind of isolated out here as a city. You might even just do that right here. And from a public safety perspective, it definitely is the way to go. You definitely, I fully agree, but I also just wanted to say that those problems have been addressed with Washington, and it's working out really well, and it's catching on, especially as consumers also, nobody wants to be ingesting anything that's harmful to their body. You know, nobody wants to do that. So those things have been addressed. And I think by looking at Washington for that and how Washington did it, definitely could benefit the city and at a state level as they're, you know, making their requirements.
Great. All right. Thank you, Travis. So, guys, I want to put that to you. I mean, does that sound like something that would be in the cards for us here for the cops, Mike, to have testing go on? I mean, what are the costs associated with that? Would that be the sort of the cost benefit of that, I guess?
I have no idea what the cost would be for something like that. Currently, we use the state crime lab for criminal cases for testing of any type of controlled substance, including blood. A lot of the cases that involve testing of blood is farmed out to a lab in Washington.
Which can take weeks.
It can take a while. And then if the case is actually going to go to trial, then the costs also include flying a witness here to testify to what the results of that would be. Mm-hmm. The expertise for doing that type of testing includes not only the cost for the material, but the cost for the employee.
Sure.
For the instruments and the employee. And I don't know if the city would be willing to do that.
Yeah, that brings up actually a question we had in advance from Rochelle Hatfield, who kind of wanted to know what the role of the courts would be in this. You know, is there going to be enforcement that's kind of done on the back end? And would that be easier, you know, if you say have probable cause to suspect someone is consuming in public, you find them, they would take it to court. Would that be, you know, but likely to see that, or would it just be more of a hands-off kind
of situation? So the question is about the city ordinance, not federal law or anything like that.
Well, at this point, literally, what will Unalaska be able to do in situations like that, I guess?
If there's probable cause for somebody consuming marijuana in public and they're issued a citation, you're asking?
Say they're eating a cookie that you suspect might be an edible or something like that.
See, that, I'm glad you brought that up, because in Colorado, they're not really, I don't think they're enforcing the whole cookie thing. It's hard to tell what is a THC-infused edible and what isn't.
Right.
And most of what we heard was talk about smoking marijuana in public. Mm-hmm. And I think that would be the same issue here. I can't imagine the police officers noticing somebody 50 yards away might be eating something and going over and going, what are you eating?
Right.
But
smoking something that appears to be a cigarette, I mean, anything
well,
like that?
It goes beyond that, because you have vape pens now. You have stuff that you don't even smell the marijuana. So it's all good questions to ask.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not sure. You're looking for the process that would happen through the court system?
Well, I'm wondering how much it's going to be utilized, I think. You know, as you mentioned, it would be costly, time-consuming, and over a $100 fine. Do you see a lot of those kind of court proceedings happening?
I have no idea. I know that in Denver they talked about one park area enforcement they were doing inside of this one little park in the town. And prior to legalization, they had issued a couple of hundred citations for consumption of marijuana in there. After legalization, it was four times that many. It was like over 800, and they were all driven by public complaints, every one of them. So,
Were there a lot of lessons from Washington that happened at this Colorado conference? Kind of as Travis mentioned, a lot different implementation, I think, slower implementation that went on there.
No, they really didn't talk about what was going on in Washington. Mm-hmm. At the Colorado conference, they were just sharing their experience. They had had so many questions from other states, and obviously representatives from 33 states were there to see what they did and how they did it. And how we kind of chose Colorado was this initiative was kind of molded after the Colorado initiative. So sure. I think it's a good point that the state of Alaska should also look at what's happened in Washington, though.
Mm-hmm. All right, listeners, I want to remind you, you can call in with questions if you like. It's 581-1888, or get in touch on Facebook and Twitter. We had a question from an anonymous listener who wants to know how public safety is going to approach people growing marijuana at home, and if you're going to be conducting searches and seizures, Mike. Or if you know.
How we're going to conduct searches and seizures of homes?
Or whether you will.
Well, it's legal to – it will become legal to grow marijuana and have, you know, six plants in your house. So there would have to be probable cause for something beyond that to conduct a search.
Mm-hmm.
If there was illegal activity, like if it was a large marijuana grow operation and we developed probable cause, yes, we would seize the plants.
Mm-hmm. So above six plants is considered a commercial use, right? And that requires a license. Is that kind of what's going to happen eventually? That the state would have to issue a license for
that. That's something that's going to be discussed. And so if you're not a permitted grow operation and you're doing this out of your home and you hear about it, that's the probable cause he's talking about, and known sales and et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. And there was something else that Travis mentioned I wanted to ask about. As far as Unalaska being in a remote, semi-rural community, cities like Anchorage and Fairbanks, I think, are looking at this in a lot different way. And cities like Denver are looking at this in a lot different way than a town like us, or even a smaller village in what they call the unorganized borough, right? So How is this different here? And do you think that sort of our distance from a lot of resources might cause more restrictions on this or fewer? I don't know. How is that going to impact things?
I don't know how to answer that.
Do you have additional concerns about this being in a rural place? I mean, Mike, maybe you can speak to this. Rural policing is much different than urban policing, right? So is this a different issue in a town like this than it is in a town like Anchorage?
Well, I think there would be let's say you had to recreate the structure for permitting out here. Let's say we allow grows, we allow medical marijuana, they allow lots of things. Then you have to create the structure for inspection and permitting and things like that. So there's not the economies of scale that you would have if you were in a bigger community for that. So I'm sure that's probably, I don't know, but it's probably going to be a concern for the council given the fact that the state is cutting budgets right and left as we speak down in Juneau to add more costs to government right now. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's up to them and it's down the road.
Yeah. Now, Chris, we should point out this is actually going to continue to be on your plate after you leave on Alaska in about a month from now. Mm-hmm. You are going to be Governor Bill Walker's next Commerce and Community and Economic Development Commissioner. And that means marijuana will likely fall under your department, right?
Mm-hmm.
So do you have a sense yet if this is probably going to be in the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board realm as they are discussing
it? Absolutely is going to be in there. One of the things they're talking about is whether the ABC board looks over this or they create a separate board. They're going to be the ones who do the regulations. So I'm not going to be directly involved in it, but I will be involved in it. There's no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm. Now, that brings up a point. Our mayor said to me in an interview a few days ago that basically with this issue, anytime we see the words alcohol and tobacco, we now add marijuana to that category. Do you feel like that's how this is going to work? I mean, that was off the cuff remark, but
that's my understanding on how they're approaching it in Juneau right now. I haven't read, I haven't read that bill yet.
The brand new version of that bill. Yeah.
Right.
But there's another one coming out this afternoon, actually.
A lot of things are tailored after that. After the alcohol and the organization of it, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd be better qualified to answer that in a couple of weeks.
Sure, when you settle in. Yeah. We had a good question from a listener about marijuana consumption on tidelands. As part of the ordinance council put forward last night, those are considered public places.
Yeah. Okay.
And they want to know if it'll be legal to use the drug if they're beachcombing or camping out there, for instance, things like that.
If it's on private land?
So OC land, potentially? I mean,
Owns what?
It's entirely possible that the property owner could make it, you know, not give permission for somebody to be using it,
mm-hmm.
In which case then they wouldn't be allowed to.
Mm-hmm.
If the city were to consider some kind of an ordinance along those measures, then it would be a city violation. If the state does that, then it would be a state.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, the way it's written, the definition includes tidelands, which would make it a public consumption, and it would fall under the city ordinance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we should point out that Onalaska is kind of in a somewhat unique position as far as, you know, outside city limits is not just state land like it is in other parts of the state. Most of it is Onalaska Corporation land. NOC representatives have told us that they basically have no comment or stance on this, really. So I don't know if that's something the city is going to be able to step in on or not.
Yeah.
On private land.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, gentlemen. Well, a lot of tricky issues to sort out with this, and I'm sure we'll be hearing more about it as we go forward in the next couple of weeks and beyond from there. But I want to thank you both so much for joining me today.
Thank you.
My guests today were City Manager Chris Laddick and Deputy Police Chief Mike Holman. And listeners, I want to thank you for all your good input during today's show. We've filmed this broadcast here in the studio, and if you missed any part of it, you can catch it again on Channel 8 tonight after Flash on Alaska. And we'll also be playing it next week before City Council takes a final vote on those public consumption rules at their next meeting, Friday, February 20th at 9 a.m. You can find all our coverage of Onalaska's new marijuana frontier on our website, kucb.org. We had production help today from Lauren Rosenthal, Annie Noe, and Lauren Adams. I'm Annie Ropeek. Have a great afternoon, and thanks for listening.